Well, good morning, Bible Way Church, and welcome to our Sunday morning service. We do appreciate you tuning in, and Brother Vinoy will be bringing a wonderful message shortly. We've got some tremendous singing for you. We pray that this will be a blessing to you. I had a chance to think about how good the Lord's been to us as I drove in this morning. Beautiful, beautiful sunny day, and I know that we're in very unusual circumstances. Bringing this broadcast to you in this empty auditorium is very unusual for us. But God's with us in whatever circumstances that we have. And in fact, the verse that was chosen for this morning, Psalms, the 31st Psalms, the 19th verse, Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. What a day this is that we have to display our faith and to put our confidence in the Lord Jesus. And just to see what wonderful things he's going to do as we go through these difficult circumstances of life. We'll make our announcements this morning, then we'll get out of the way of the singers. I do want to remind us to observe and to follow the guidance, avoid exposure wherever possible regarding this terrible virus, maintaining the 6 feet of social distancing, and if you're out and you can do it, go ahead and cover with some kind of a cloth, that type thing. It's going to be probably a part of what we do for the next little bit, and we just encourage everybody to stay safe until this cloud lifts a bit and we're all able to get back to church and work and the things that we normally do. I want to remind you of the Bible Way website. Be sure to find some of the broadcasts there. And also wanted to do a shout-out to Brother Brian Odell. Thank Brother Brian for recording and uploading the Sunday school lesson this morning. That's two weeks in a row. I know that'll be a blessing to folks. And Brother Brian, we love you, buddy, and just glad to see you able to minister in that way and help us. Thank you. Okay, so again, a shout out this week to the first responders, those in healthcare and the military, those who are operating stores where we need to get our groceries, and those who are driving trucks and those things. In fact, Miss Hannah's here with us this morning. I was thinking about the front lines of healthcare and the sacrifice that these folks are making to be out there to make sure that we're all as well and things are as normal as they can be. So thank you for all of that. Now, we want to go back to asking you that if you need something within this congregation, if you'll reach out to the pastor, reach out to one of the deacons, they would love to help you if there's something that you need in your life, and that's what church, that's what family is all about. So if you need something, please reach out. And also, last week we shared a photo. I'm going to share another one this morning of the children and the chalkwork there. He is risen, just as he said. Of course, from Easter Sunday, but also we asked for some photographs for the shelter in place. I'm going to call it the selfie in place. We had some of those that came in. Brother Wayne, good to see him there. Looks like he's taking advantage of a pretty day. And look at the fish that was caught. And I made the comment when I saw this that just need cornmeal in a frying pan, for that critter. Appreciate Heather, and then we've got Braley and Luke. Doing some deck repair work. So everybody's kind of finding a way to keep themselves busy. Appreciate all that. Here's some of our youth and Mr. Montoya and some of the folks. And, this is a shelter in place. And in the middle photograph, whatever that place is, it's a good place to shelter. Looks like a beautiful day, and we appreciate our youth sharing that. And if there was a contest this week, I would say that the person who would win that would be Brother Ralph. So this was sent to me as the selfie in place, and the caption was, "Can't wait until the barbershop reopens." And we do appreciate all these being sent in. But in a serious mode, also wanted to share a couple of photographs this morning of some of the folks that Brother Richard, if you'll go on, of some of the folks that we're missing here in the congregation. And we appreciate Brother Rose, who shared this beautiful picture of Miss Barbara. I was thinking about Dan and Bill and Frankie and Beth. And we know this has been a hard time for everybody. And for those who have lost loved ones, I know it's been probably unimaginably difficult. But our prayers are with you. We do remember you. And we just can't wait until we get all the folks back here in the congregation, back in the church together at the same time. Okay, so with that, we'll ask Miss Hannah, Miss Charity, and Miss Laura if they'll sing for us this morning, and then the pastor will follow them with the message.
shores. See, there is Pharaoh that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. Can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed.
He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name.
Thank you, ladies. What a blessing. I'm glad the Lord knows our name. Amen. I'm glad He knows what we need, even before we ask. But He said to ask, and you shall receive. It's a blessing to be with you here today on the broadcast. I appreciate the Lord giving us this opportunity. Several are tuning in that maybe wouldn't normally be at Bible Way, and we're grateful for that, grateful for the presence of the Lord here this morning. I pray that the Lord will just bless us today with a good service and help us along the way. Amen. I want to read a passage of Scripture this morning, and I'm preaching today on this subject, praying in a pandemic. Praying in a pandemic. And the Word of God said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 12, I've spent much time reading the prayer of Solomon in chapter number 6, and in chapter number 7, God is saying something back to Solomon, and He's letting Solomon know that what has went on in this prayer is pleasing to him. The Word of God said in verse 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer." Well, Brother Steve, that's a blessing. I know that sometimes I pray and I wonder, did God hear my prayer? But there's other times I pray and I know God heard my prayer. Solomon heard from heaven. He appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, and that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Pray with me, would you please? Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. I pray this morning, our Lord, that you would just open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing here. God, in this place, that we might be a blessing in other places where our people are gathered today with their family. Some, Lord, are alone. Lord, I'm glad that when they have Jesus in their life, they're never alone. But Lord, I pray today that you'd minister to your people. Lord, many of our people are up in years. And Lord, I know that our Father, they wonder sometimes what's going on. When can we get back to church? When can we get out again? I pray, God, that you just send peace in this time. I ask you, Father, today that your servant, our Lord, would be blessed with your power, that we might, our Father, expound the Word of God in a way that's pleasing unto thee. God, will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm looking today at the subject, praying in a pandemic. I have several things that I want to share with you from this little brief passage of Scripture. And the first thing that I want to share with you today that I'm looking at is great power. God is in charge. The Word of God said here that if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Or if I send pestilence among my people. Someone might ask the question, where did this virus come from? I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I am going to teach you from the Word of God, beloved, that there are times in the Word of God when God sends things to chasten a people or to chasten a nation. I'm not here to lay the blame. I'm telling you, God used wicked people in the Old Testament to chastise his people Israel. When they would get out of line, when they would get their eyes off of heaven and get their eyes on the things of this world and begin to worship idols and begin, beloved, to go away from God, God many times would chasten them and send a nation maybe that wasn't near as strong to, my friend, get them back in line. I believe, listen to me carefully, before I get finished this morning, you're going to know that America needs a realignment. And beloved, listen, I'm not saying dogmatically that God sent this or dogmatically that God allowed this, but I am saying it is possible. Let me ask you a couple questions just to set the stage. Who sent the storm in the book of Jonah when God's man was supposed to go down to Nineveh and he turned and went the other way, went towards Tarsus? You tell me who sent the storm. I'll read you a text in a minute. Who prepared the fish in the book of Jonah to swallow Jonah? Who heard Jonah's cry from the belly of the whale and caused the whale to vomit Jonah out on the shore? Who prepared the gourd and who sent the worm to destroy the gourd? I believe, beloved, listen, that we as God's people are foolish if we don't understand there's a God in heaven that's not pleased with some of the things that's going on in our country. And beloved, listen, I want to say this. It's not time to pout. It's time to pray. It's not time for politics. It's time to pray. It's not time to protest. It's time to pray. And I want to say this to God's people. It's not time to be hunting another roll of toilet paper. It's time to enter into triumphant prayer and get a hold of the God of heaven and understand, beloved, that only God, beloved, can handle this situation. God, I believe, is showing mankind that they're not near as smart as they think they are. They're not near, beloved, listen, as advanced as they think they are. There's still some things that mankind cannot handle. I thought about this week as I've watched the news. Not only the virus in America,
But now many parts of our country are experiencing, beloved, tremendous tornadoes. And you say, well, preacher, where is God in all this? I'm going to tell you what, He's still on the throne. That's where He is. Amen. I believe America needs an awakening. I believe America needs to wake up and look up and call on the God of heaven. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, the Lord sent out a great wind in verse number 4 into the sea. There was a mighty tempest. Who sent it out? God did. In verse 17 of chapter 1 in Jonah, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. You say, preacher, that's an impossibility. Surely you don't believe that. I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible said that God prepared a great fish called a whale in another place. And I believe with all of my heart, if this Bible had said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would have believed that. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I take God at His word. You cannot disprove the word of God, beloved. Every time they dig something up, they think they're going to get something on God. And all it does is prove that the God of heaven is right and the word of God is right. The word of God in Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish. I'm going to tell you something. You say, preacher, are you crazy? You really believe God can speak to a fish? I believe He can speak to more than one. When Peter and them went out there fishing that night, I believe God told all the fish, get over there out of the way. These boys think they know everything. Amen. And the next morning, God said, cast your net on the right side. They cast their net. Now they couldn't hardly draw it. You tell me God can't speak to creation. You tell me God's not in control. I'm telling you, there's great power. And if God's people would understand, we can tap in on that prayer, brother. That power, Brother Rose, through the lifeline of prayer, we can pray to the God of heaven that God will get the attention of our people. I'm talking about our people, God's people in America, beloved. We don't need to be pouting. We need to be praying. We need to be looking up. Amen. God prepared the gourd in chapter 4 and verse number 6. And then God prepared a worm and smote the gourd that it withered. Beloved, the Bible said here, if I shut up the heaven, if there's a drought, I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's entirely possible, according to the word of God, that God dried up the rain and God sent the drought. If there's a flood, it's entirely possible, according to the word of God, that God sent the water and God sent the flood. It's entirely possible that God sent the tornado. It's entirely possible that God sent a pestilence among the land to show us, beloved, there's someone bigger than our economy. There's someone bigger than Wall Street. There's somebody, beloved, listen, that's bigger than the people that think they know everything. And that's the God of heaven. Amen. And we need to get a hold of Him. If I send pestilence among my people, beloved, I want you to think about this. You think maybe God's upset? You got kids, beloved, out there in Southern California that would like to ride a skateboard. And they brought 37 tons of sand in there and dumped it in the skateboard park. Listen, I'm talking about people, beloved, that hate God. I'm talking about people that hate the church. I'm talking about people, beloved, listen, that'll write you a $1,000 ticket for trying to have a drive-in church service. Amen. And yet they can drive into any liquor store they want to. I'm telling you, beloved, there's some things being revealed in this. God's people are not popular. And I'm telling you, we're never here to be popular. We're here to be right with God and to pray and get a hold of the God of heaven. We're in the way of this world's program. In order to get money out for the small businesses, the American families, they had to have $25 million for the Kennedy Center, only the next day or two to see them laying off the multitudes from the Kennedy Center. I'm telling you, there's hypocrisy in the land. And you can tell me that God don't know about it. God knows about it, beloved. Are you listening to me? There's people whose knees are hurting. And, beloved, they need a knee replacement. Their hips are hurting. And they need a hip replacement, and they've said, beloved, listen, that the elective surgeries were done with them for a while. I understand, beloved, that they thought they were going to need the room for this pandemic, but this is what I don't understand. How come, beloved, a surgery on a hip is elective, but abortion is essential? The abortion clinics had to remain open through all of this. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it's entirely possible that God sent a pestilence in the land, and that God is trying to get the attention of His people in this land and get us to wake up and get prayed up and look up, because Jesus is coming again. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, you think about the governor that says stay at home up in Michigan, but will not allow people to purchase grass seed so they could work on their home. Wouldn't allow them to purchase paint so they could paint on their home. I'm telling you, beloved, there's decisions being made in this country that's not right. Listen, I understand that we need to distance. I understand that this virus is highly contagious. I thank God that right now none of our precious people have caught this mess. But I want you to know something, beloved. There's people using this to get their ideological advantage on us as American people. And God's not pleased, amen, with some of the things that are going on in this country. Oh, beloved friend, listen. Elective surgeries halted. Abortion clinics considered essential. If you go, beloved, by the statistics in 2018, that right now, listen, there have been 39,014 COVID virus deaths. COVID-19, that virus, there's been 39,014 that has died in the last 90 days. Listen, I don't diminish that. That we had about the same number to die with the flu last year. But it took not 2 months or 3 months. It took from, I think it was August to April to have the same amount of deaths. But let me tell you this, beloved. According to the statistics, in these 90 days that we've seen 39,000 people die of the virus, 228,330 babies have been aborted. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to get you to see this. You might not see that. And you might not pay attention to that, but there's a God in heaven that pays attention to that. And I believe it's entirely possible. I'm not being dogmatic about it, but that God is saying, wake up, America. Listen, it's not your bank account. It's not your 401k. You better get your eyes off of Wall Street and get them on a golden street, because soon we'll be walking on it as God's people. Amen. I see great power. Great power. There's a God in heaven, beloved, that has great power. He can heal. Amen. But He can also send a pestilence. He can, my friend, send a storm. He can get His people's attention. And I believe God wants to do that. Let's look here at the verse now. The Word of God said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. By the way, remember over there in the book of Exodus, God said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. The deathborn are gonna, the firstborn are gonna die in every home where the blood's not applied. And He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Beloved, listen to me. Everybody wants to see a melancholy God. A God that's just a wishy-washy. A God that's just lovey-dovey. But brother, you better read this Bible. And you better understand, beloved, listen, that a whole lot worse than a COVID virus is coming on this world. The Word of God said at one time, a third of the earth's water supply will be turned to blood. There are going to be hailstones that weigh 100 pounds falling from the sky. A third of the earth will be on fire all at the same time. I'm talking about a tribulation hour. I'm talking about a God of judgment. I'm talking about a God that can send pestilence and that can dry up the rain, that can send the locusts to devour the land. Beloved, listen, there's great power with our God. And beloved, we need to respect Him. We need to get a hold of Him. We need to pray to the God of heaven. I see a not only great power, but I see a great proposition. Beloved, He said if. The first word in this verse, chapter 7 and verse 14, is if. There's a great proposition. What if God's people? What if, Brother Steve, we begin to fast and we begin to pray? What if we said, Lord, we don't know if you're sending this or not, but we know it's here. And we know we need help. And we know we can't handle it. Everybody's looking to the vaccine and looking to the doctor. I'm telling you, beloved, where are God's people that are looking to the great physician and trying to understand why? Amen. Listen, we were so boastful before this happened. There were many that said, we've brought China to her knees. I want you to know something, beloved. Listen, you can blame China. I believe that's where it originated. I believe that with all of my heart. But there's a God that's a whole lot bigger than China. There's a God that's a whole lot bigger than America, a whole lot bigger than Europe, a whole lot bigger than Africa. And we need to understand, beloved, this morning, that God can send pestilence in the land if he wants to. He's trying to get our attention. If a great proposition. If my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray. I tell you, beloved, I believe with all of my heart and everything in my being that God wants us to pray. Don't you believe that? That God wants us to pray. Beloved friend, listen. There's a great proposition. There's something else here that I see. There's a great possession. You say, preacher, I don't see a possession here. I do. He said, my people. Beloved, you know what we need to remember during all this mess? That we're God's people. Miss Hannah, he knows our name. Amen. It's personal. We belong to him. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. Listen, I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to this world. And I don't belong to old Slewfoot. I belong to the Savior this morning. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, I want to give you something that God taught me. This blessed my heart as I studied the scripture. In 2 Chronicles 6, this is back there where Solomon's praying. He said, if there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew or locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house? Solomon said to God, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and render unto every man according to his ways whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I read that statement, Brother Steve. I thought about the politicians in this land. God knows their hearts. Some want to help the people, and some, all they're interested in is helping their own cause. And God knows the hearts in America. Watch this now. That they may fear thee, to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gave us unto our fathers. Watch this. Stay with me a minute. Beloved, some would say, preacher, you're over there in that Old Testament. You're over there where those promises are made to Israel. This has nothing to do with the church. This has nothing to do with the Gentiles. And I can understand that argument. All the scripture is written for us, but all the scripture is not written to us. But let me help you something right here. Beloved, listen to the next statement. Brother Steve, this blessed me. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house. The Bible said, then hear thou from the heavens, even from the dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name, and fear thee as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house that I have built is called by thy name. I want you to think about something right here as Solomon's praying. Beloved, listen, I don't know if Solomon knew he was prophesying or not, but there's going to come a day, beloved, when it's not just Israel that's welcome at the throne of God. But the stranger, I'm talking about the Gentile. The Word of God said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. God made provision even here in the prayer of Solomon that a stranger from a far country could come to the same house and get a hold of the same God that can help him in his time of need. That blesses me this morning to know that God, listen, I remember back there when Ronald Reagan, I loved Ronald Reagan. He said, what's the matter with you? Nothing. There's something wrong with you if you didn't love Ronald Reagan. Amen. Ronald Reagan said to Gorbachev, he said, tear down this wall. Oh, thank God, Brother Steve. There was a petition. There was a curtain. We couldn't get into the holiest of all. Only the high priest once a year. And my friend, listen, he had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin. But Jesus died. And listen, that partition, that veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. And God tore down the wall, a partition between Israel and the Gentiles, and made of twain one body in Christ. What a blessing, amen. We're no more strangers. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You say, preacher, are you talking about praying in a pandemic? Yeah. I'm saying there's great power. God has power. There's a great proposition. God said, if you'll do this, I'll do this. But there's a great possession. God's looking for His people. His people. Beloved, listen, that His name might be spread through all the earth. Not only this, look here in the text with me this morning. I'm thrilled about this. Listen, I'm not going to be dogmatic as I've said, but I know this. My God sent a storm to get Jonah where Jonah needed to be. My God sent a fish to get Jonah where Jonah needed to be. Jonah could have just got on the right boat to start with. Listen, America's not in the right boat. America needs to get back in the boat where the Word of God dictates the law of the land. I'm telling you, beloved, it's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But God's letting us know you're not as great as you think you are. Not as big as you think you are. Not as, my friend, listen, powerful as you think you are. Some little old virus come in, something unseen, and shut a whole nation down. I'm telling you, God is wanting His people to wake up and realize it's time to pray. Listen, the next thing I see here is a great position, Brother Steve. He said, my people, which are called by my name, I believe the greatest position that God's people ever take in this world is to humble themselves. The Word of God said, humble themselves. God said He would draw nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. God said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and I will exalt you in due season. Beloved, it's not time to be arrogant. It's time to be humble. It's time to be praying. Beloved, listen, I believe we ought to pray for our leaders. I believe we ought to pray for our pastors. I believe we ought to pray for our people. I believe we ought to pray for our country. You may not understand what I'm about to say, but if this thing don't turn around, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm talking about, beloved, when people get hungry. I'm talking about, beloved, when people get hopeless. You mark my word, beloved. Listen, you'll have to stay home. Because if you've got any groceries, you'll have to stay home and guard them. Amen? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we need God. And God knows we need Him. And God said, if my people, that great power, that great proposition, that great possession, that great position shall humble themselves and pray. Now watch this. I see a great prayer. You say, preacher, what do you mean a great prayer? Anytime somebody gets a hold of the God of heaven, it's a great prayer. Listen to what Robert E. Lee said. He said, knowing that intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and the supreme call for all Christians today, he said, I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray, believing that prayer is the greatest contribution that our people can make in this critical hour. I humbly urge you that we take time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, at noonday, at sundown, at midnight, all through the day. Let us all pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our pastors, our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves, that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ and redeeming love, for moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders. Let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice. That was said out of the mouth of Robert E. Lee, that wonderful general. Let me tell you something, beloved. God is trying to encourage his people to pray. Beloved, listen. You say, preacher, I don't have time to pray. You got a lot more time than you used to have. Say amen. Maybe that's what God's trying to show us. Maybe he's trying to show us that a ball game's all right, but it's not the most important thing in life. There's some people, beloved, all they live for is another case of beer, another ball game, another a dose of dope. That's all they live for. But I'm telling you, God is trying to tell us there's something more important. We're all going to face him one day after a while. The Bible talks about a great perseverance here. He said, seek my face. The Bible talks about a great problem. There's a problem in the average Christian's life when they're not praying. Say, preacher, what's the problem? Sin. The Word of God said, turn from their wicked ways. Let me tell you something. Prayerlessness is a wicked way. They interviewed pastors years ago. They found this out. They call them evangelical. I'm not saying that in a smart way, but that includes a great big bunch. Some of them don't even believe in the virgin birth. Some of them don't believe, listen, in the vicarious death. Some of them don't even believe, beloved, listen, in the resurrection. But I'm going to tell you something right now. This went out among pastors, and the average pastor prayed 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day. Well, let me ask you that, this. If that's in the pulpit, what's in the pew? God's saying, I want my people to get a hold of me. I want my people to pray. I want them with perseverance to pray, to seek my face. There's a great problem. Turn from their wicked ways. You see, David, there was a time in his life when David didn't realize he had a big problem. But later on, David said, search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because David realized the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This was the heart of a man after God's own heart. Where does that leave you and I? Amen. There's a great problem. It's a sin problem. But then let me give you this. There's a great promise. The Bible said here, then will I hear from heaven. Hallelujah. If we're willing, beloved, listen, to meet the righteous demands that are set forth in this text, God said, I will hear from heaven. That's a blessing to me, amen, to know that God will hear his people. I thought about this. Somebody said, I believe it was Stanley Jones, he said, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. You know what? Some of us might say, well, preacher, we need to pray that this virus will be over. I'm not sure. We do need to pray this. God, whatever it is you want us to learn, help us to learn it. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Because prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven. Prayer is to get God's will done in the earth. Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that. If I throw out a boat hook or an anchor from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, what's this? Do I pull the shore to me? Or do I pull the boat to the shore? God wants us to throw out the anchor, but He doesn't want us to pull Him to us. He wants us to pull that we might pull us to Him, that our will might line up with His will. Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. There's a great promise. He said, I will hear from heaven. Let me close now with just a couple more things, and I'll be done. There's a great pardon. Brother Rose, God said, I'll forgive their sin. I don't know of anything in this world that's any sweeter. Whether it's a sinner, like I was in 1987, or whether it's a Christian, like I have been, Brother Steve, many times since. I don't know of anything sweeter than to know and have assurance that God has forgiven you of your sin. You say, preacher, you don't mean Christian sin. Oh, yes, I do. And I believe, listen, that sometimes that sin puts up a wall. God said that your iniquities are separated between you and your God. There's nothing sweeter that I know of than to know that I've fallen on my knees. Said, it's me again, God. I've messed up, Lord. Lord, help me. It's not the words. It's that heart. And to know, Brother Steve, that he's put his hand on me one more time and said, son, I shed my blood that you might be forgiven, that you might be pardoned. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. I'm telling you, beloved, if God's people would humble themselves, seek His face, turn from their wicked ways, we can hear from heaven again. They have a pardon as He forgives our sin. Watch this. There's a great prospect. Not only that He would forgive our sin and pardon us, but brother, the prospect that He would heal our land. Beloved, listen. I said this before several weeks ago. I say it again. America needed a healing before the coronavirus ever hit the shore. Listen, this Bible's always right. Brother Steve, the Bible said the house divided against itself cannot stand. Either America is going to get a healing and we'll come together, or we're just going to keep promoting the division. There's only one thing that can bring us together, and that's the Word of God, returning to the principles of the Word of God. Beloved, I'll say this. There was a time in America when wicked people, I'm talking about people, they might have been a bootlegger. A woman might have been a prostitute, but had more respect for God's Word, for God's man, for God's house, than what a lot of people do today that attend the house of God. I'm telling it right, I know I am. A lot of that's our own fault, Brother Steve. Pastors that have fallen, and sometimes people gloat and they glory in that. But when a pastor falls, beloved, listen, the cause of Christ is damaged and it's hurt. We should never glory in that. We should pray. There's a great prospect. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Beloved, we're going to pray this morning. The girls are going to come back and sing. I want to ask you this. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? In the middle of all this uncertainty, are you certain that heaven would be your home if you had to leave this world today? If you had to breathe your last breath and leave this world, are you certain that heaven would be your home? Beloved, you can only know that by knowing Jesus. You can only know Jesus as you turn from your sin and you place your faith in Jesus and what He's done at the cross. Thank God He gave His life that we could have eternal life. Life abundantly here, life eternal in His presence in heaven. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, let me beg you to do that. It's not the words. But I tell you what, you could tell God, oh God, I'm sorry. You could tell God, God, you're right, I'm wrong. You could tell the Lord, Lord, I now believe that Jesus didn't just die for the sin of the world, but He died for my sin. Make it personal. Receive Him. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. Please come into my heart and life and save me. God's people, today I want to encourage you. Examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith. Make sure you're saved by the grace of God. But then let me ask you to do this. Make sure you're clean. Ask God to show you if there's any wicked way. I've used this illustration for years. I used to carry a flashlight called a mini mag. It was just a little flashlight that took two AA batteries. I used to carry one hunting all the time. You could walk into a lady's house and you could have that little flashlight and you could just be shining it out here in the open. It wouldn't bother that lady at all. But if you said to the lady of the house, would you mind if I shine this up under your refrigerator? Unless she was just under there yesterday, she's probably going to say something like, I'd rather you not. If there's ever going to be a dead mouse in the house, guess where it's going to be? Under the refrigerator. If there's ever going to be dust in the house, guess where it's going to be? Under the refrigerator. You know what God wants us to do as His people? Look under the refrigerator. That deep part in our life that nobody else knows about. Shine the light. Let God shine the light up in there. And He said, if there's any wicked way, He said, I'll forgive you if you'll just humble yourself and pray. Father, would you help us in America? Lord, I pray, God, that you'd give our president, the leaders of our states, wisdom. Help us, our Father, even the doctors and the nurses, to know how much they're appreciated, but also to know at the same time, Lord, there's some things that are out of our control. Help us, Lord, today that we might return to that place of prayer, that we might take you up on that proposition. If my people, God, I'm glad I belong to you. I pray now, Lord, that you just speak to hearts, that when our Father that's nearing the shore, nearing eternity's edge, may they, Lord, be sure that their sin has been forgiven. Maybe some young person today, Lord, don't know which way to turn. May they turn to Jesus. I think, Lord, of that teenager in our church that we pray for so often. Oh, God, I pray the day will come soon when he'll turn to Thee, when he'll understand, our Father, that there's forgiveness at the foot of the cross. Bless now Thy word, our Father, and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies.
There are walls there.
need.